Warming temps and heavy rains can spell trouble for your home. Don't wait for a problem. Get a free foundation inspection from PermaSeal. Stay dry, stay protected. For peace of mind, call 800-421-SEAL or visit permaseal.net.
Let's find out what's going on in Ukraine and Joseph Lindsley standing by. And everything I've been hearing and reading lately, same thing, Joseph. The military commanders in Ukraine say they're preparing for a long, brutal war. And it seems like all the experts agree this is not going to end anytime soon, is it?
Hey, Bob, well, no, it's long and brutal. But we see surrounded by such signs of life and encouragement. I'm talking to you right now from Lviv. I've returned after my journey to Kharkiv in the Far East, where I was just 30 miles from Russia, and then to Kyiv. And I took the train this morning to Lviv. And I came here for a conference called IT Arena. Lviv, in the years since Ukraine's Maidan Revolution in 2014, up until the full-scale invasion of Russia in 2022, Lviv was really a tech hub. It's a creative place. It's a place where you can, you know, meet people and share ideas and move fast. But I hope I sound clear to you.
My
audio is clear.
Yeah, there. Well, now I think it's starting to clear up there. We're having a little difficulty getting you loud and clear there a minute ago. Try it now, Joe.
I didn't think hopefully
this
is clear.
Yeah, that's better.
Good. Sorry for that. I just jumped off the train moments ago. Traveling to this country, and I'm here for this, it's called IT Arena Tech Conference.
And it's amazing that it's happening here in the wartime. You have some great and brave people from all over the world are assembling in Lviv. They kind of have to keep the locations secret. In years past, you'd have thousands of people attending this conference, but it really is inspiring to see that, you know, the people say, oh, we still have to keep going. We have to keep building. And so this is both a recognition that the war, Russia's war, you know, this is going to go on for a while yet, and you have to find ways to survive in the long run. It's also this Ukrainian desire to live and to live well and not to mope around. Maybe you can hear some of the background noise as I'm walking around Lviv through every different square that I enter as I talk with you. There's a musician playing, people taking a stroll, families about. You have people, journalists and media and tech people attending this conference. And so when we say brutal, you know, because of Ukrainian resilience, the definition of brutal is it's something different here. You know, today it's a beautiful day. It's perfect weather. But very soon, you know, it's going to start to get colder. And in fact, it was October 10th last year when the Russians began their regular infrastructure attacks on Ukraine. And so everyone is sort of bracing for that. I think that's one reason why people are out and about today enjoying the nice weather. Because everyone knows, you know, there's no myth about it. Everyone knows it's going to be an extremely difficult winter. And as I was taking the train this morning from Kyiv, if you're looking for some excitement in your life, and Bob, your crew sounds amazing, by the way, but also if people are looking for some inspiration and a boost, you know, this is such an amazing place to be, despite the fear and the difficulty. And every time I take the train anywhere in Ukraine, I see people I know. And so I was taking a nap about 6 o'clock this morning on the train, and I felt a tap on my shoulder. And it was friends of mine that have a punk band called Deep Day Engineering, and they were traveling to perform a show. And so we started talking, and they told me how they have a lot of fans who are soldiers, and the soldiers will send them pieces of captured Russian equipment, something like sleeping bags or pieces of weapons, and then the band will auction those items off to raise money to then buy the soldiers' drones. And so you see this incredible ecosystem of how people work together and help each other, and how everyone is fighting in different ways. And as I'm on that train car this morning, I hear two American women chatting, having a conversation, you know, and everyone you speak with, you could talk to anyone, and everyone is engaged on this mission of victory. There's an amazing energy. And I, you know, I've made the analogy before that it feels like a university campus, but it also feels like this extended conference. Like, we're all here in this one place to figure out how everyone can use their different talents to make victory happen as soon as possible. And so simply being here, there's such an energy and spirit. But then you're always reminded of the difficulties. For example, on the train, They had televisions in every car with no sound, and they were playing this cartoon actually for kids. And the cartoon was showing kids what to do if they see a landmine. And they had these little cartoon animals playing in the forest in a playground, and they stumble upon a landmine. And so you do see these very, real reminders of the threat that we face. And then when I returned from the station into my building, most apartment buildings in Lviv have a concierge. And so the girl at the front desk, she was smiling and happy. And then she showed me a video of what happened just a few days ago. One of the Iranian suicide drones flew directly over the building, the closest it's ever been. And I saw the video. You can see the anti-aircraft, the missile defense working, the machine gun fire over our building, the war has never been that close to that part of the city here in Lviv. She showed me the video. I mean, she said she was terrified in the moment, but today she's smiling. And so this is this. It's going to go on for a long time. But we see here people learning, not learning to accept it, but learning to say, hey, this is the challenge that life has presented us. Let's make the best of it.
Joe, your reports convey what it's like to be there in Ukraine now better than any other reporting that we get. Are you actually walking around as you talk to us today? Because it does sound a little different. Sounds like you're on a telephone.
Yeah, I'm walking around through the old city of Lviv. There's no cars in the center of the city. There's outdoor cafes everywhere, little piazzas, people playing music. And it is, there's a diversity of cities in Ukraine. In Kharkiv, there's not a lot of people now because there have been so many attacks. And so it was a shock to arrive here in Lviv and see so many people. Mm-hmm. And many people have come for the conference. Lviv is such an idyllic, with the Austro-Hungarian architecture. It is one of the most beautiful cities in the world. I think you can ask any American, I think, who's here for this conference right now. This is probably one of the nicest cities they've ever seen in the world. And then add to that, in the wartime, that there's such a sense of purpose here. And despite all of the fear, that sense of purpose makes people want to be here.
It sounds lovely. We pray for the day that we can all visit. And all I know, listening to you tell the story of being on a train, traveling through Ukraine, taking a nap, and you felt a tap on your shoulder. If that's me, I would have had a heart attack at that point. Yeah, you're a brave guy, Joseph. And I hope you can get some R&R this weekend.
Bob, thank you indeed. And we never know when there's going to be new attacks, but I think the way everyone here gives each other energy, that's a lesson for the world to see. And I think anyone who is maybe feeling a little bit down about life, I'd even say try a visit to Ukraine, see what it does for you.
It's unbelievable. Very impressive. Thank you, Joseph. Stay safe.
Thank you, Bob. Until Monday.